Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the fourth agreement with the five agreements. We're looking at discovering what death can teach us about living more fully. And I just love this book. It's just a wonderful book that, I mean, I'm growing and really loving just these different aspects. And always there's always a really sweet aha, I think, in each of these sections that really helped me. So I'm excited tonight because we're going to be talking about marigolds, which is super, super fun. So we're getting into the fall thing. And I want to go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm a little scared. Yeah.
There it is.
Needing some courage. And I want to make sure everybody knows that I'm glad you agree with the five invitations. But they're not the five agreements. They're the five invitations. Or maybe you're reading another
book. I agree, and I know they're invitations, so there you go. But I mean,
and
if
so
you don't know the four agreements, if you don't know the four agreements, you should check that book out, too. We have never done that book. That would be a good book to do, too, especially back. And I wonder how many years that's been out. Oh, my gosh, that's a great book,
too. It's been a long time.
Anyway, the five invitations were in the fourth invitation. And Miss Elena, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
And she has been just having her own courage. Yeah, all these different changes, and her kids just started back to school, and she's homeschooling, and bless her heart, there's all these things kind of going on. So you are doing great.
You know,
we are all proud of you.
Thank you. Just like I love this, just showing up, and you know, it's been a good week. We've got good stuff going on. We've got, launching a couple of websites hopefully this week, and so that's been great. You know, Kelly Capsar's been on the cafe for quite a bit, and we're getting her site done and doing another site for a virtual CFO, and so that's going to be fun.
Oh.
And so just having a lot of getting to get lots of people's messages out in the world is really fun for me. I love doing that, so that's what I have going on this week.
Well, and what's great is it's fun for her, and she's just a pro. She's a pro at it, and it just makes you feel so easy, but able to do that. And we have a guest chef in the house, Miss Christine. Christine Miller, how are you tonight, Christine?
Hi. I've been here before. I've done
Yeah, you've been here many times.
A few times. But
yeah,
I even
like you,
learned
you know,
from
like
Robin how
cat.
To make
you gotta be careful.
Wedding bouquets I from her at one kind of outreach, which I promptly froze accidentally the night before
the
wedding.
Oh, my God. Talk about needing resilient skills, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a professional florist, and I've gone back to Ohio and not thinking about the time change, and I've frozen bouquets and cars and not thinking about the fact that it's like, it's below zero out here. I think that flower's not going to do so well. I did that once for my grandmother. I left it in a car as a surprise, and I realized, that's not going to do too good. So we had to have plan B. We had a plan B. So we're in Courageous Presence. And really this chapter is all about looking at our fears and looking at the way that we can be embracing change. And a little bit later, we're going to be talking about there's like three different types of courage. There's the warrior, the strong heart, and vulnerability. And I really want to make sure that we get to that. But I really love at the beginning of this section on 215, it says, when fear speaks, courage is heart's answer. And love for any of you guys to... We've all read the chapter, so anybody want to kind of jump in with that before we get into the flower power moment?
Well, one thing I'd like to say is, you know, it's all about the connections and the interplay and sharing things we love. We are doing this book as part of the Transformation Cafe Book Club because of Kristen. Kristen is the one who gave it to me. And then I was just like, oh, my gosh, I absolutely love this. And we've been able to share this with a lot of people. So, Kristen, I really want to thank you for that. You're to blame for all this.
Of course. I'm always to blame for everything.
In a good way.
And you know what? I wanted to say something about about what you just said, because I had the most amazing experience today. I, of course, reread the chapter last night in the bathtub at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
and,
like one
after
would do.
Having lost the book. but today, my second client sat on the couch, Vietnam vet.
Mm.
And we looked, and he is a warrior.
Mm.
And he knows that warrior save the world thing. And he sat on the couch with his sadness. And we were able to turn the warrior in and invite him in to support the other part of him that was so vulnerable and so sad today. And it was just amazing. And he looked up at me at tears and he says, "I never knew I could use my warrior this way."
Wow. Mm. Oh, my God.
And that happened.
That
happened real time today. I mean, and it was such an amazing way he was able to stand courageously and be present with his very, very difficult feelings.
Wow, that's huge. Thank you for sharing that.
It was.
That is huge.
It was so cool. It was so cool.
Yeah, that's huge, because it shows that, you know, it goes back to just looking at all these old belief systems and just archetypes, all these different ways that we put things out into the world, and how this time is just really just nudging us to be moving into this new way. And boy, is it like you just said, you know, it's just that epiphany that can happen when it's just a little minor perspective shift, you know.
Well, and having somebody hold with you. And let that unfold.
Yeah,
wow.
Thank goodness for Kristen, because she's definitely can hold somebody in that place. But to just have that you know, one thing that this chapter talks about was talking about, you know, the hug experience, and how it's so important that as we're growing, you know, even from infancy, that we get hugged and that we're held. And, you know, sometimes being held, you know, it's actually called a holding environment. When you're having that kind of place where you can have somebody hold you, even if it's not necessarily physically, but having it on an emotional level or spiritual level, that they're holding you in this environment, how just life-shifting and thrilling that can be just for the planet. Because, you know, as one of us change, we all change. So the fact that he had that epiphany today, we all had that epiphany today. So thank you, Kristen.
Well, thank him. It was amazing. It was just amazing to watch him.
Just like to have a warrior allow that other side to appear, a whole new kind of warrior.
Mm-hmm. And to stay present, not to run out or to try to be a tough guy, but to stay present, that courageous presence with his inner self that was having very difficult feelings. That was big. That's big.
Yeah. Elena, how about you?
You know, I think that's an amazing story, for one. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, my thoughts on upcoming, before we get to Flower Power, is that I felt like this was, I learned a lot from this section, and I'm excited to discuss it and see, you know, where it takes us this time. You know, there's lots of courageous stories, and, you know, not to overword these courage or courageous, but it really is this, you know, people turning towards the pain and turning towards the towards their fears and meeting their innermost concerns and issues, and how what good comes from that. I think this is going to be a wonderful, powerful segment.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a wonderful segue for me, because thank you for sharing that, Kristen, because it just goes right into what the Marigold energy is all about. So, you know, it's you know, how appropriate here we are on the fall equinox, and we're moving into the fall energy, and you know, the miracle definitely wanted to come in and be the, you know, the part of the conversation with all this. But one thing that's interesting about marigolds is they have a chemical that they create that's actually really good for the human eye. So if you make a salve a salve out of a marigold, it actually is very healing for an eye and actually can help with degeneration.
Wow.
So when you talk about the vision of something when it comes to a marigold and having that beautiful orange, and I always think of orange with the second chakra, okay, because it's that beautiful orange and goes in from that orange into the yellow and all the different colors that it holds. And its colors are really holding the lower part of the body, because you've got the root, your chakra, your root, your solar plexus, and then your sacral center. So all the energies that the marigold holds is very grounding, very much helping us to hold a vision, which is interesting because, you know, it's really as above, so below. It comes to being able to be creating out in the world. And, you know, we think it's all going to be with our third eye and actually just in our head, but it's actually, you know, coming from that area where we, you know, it's kind of when we talk about, you know, what is your gut instincts, the way that you think about something and have that be something that really can help you propel that into the world in the way that, you know, you just have a knowing, and it's something on a gut level that you just can't shake.
Yeah.
But I think it's just so powerful when it works with that. So yeah, it's actually, you can make an ointment out of the marigolds, and it really helps for skin healing and also for your eyes, particularly the eyes.
Mm.
And what's interesting too, is there's a lot of cosmetics that they have part of the, when it comes to regeneration or helping to keep the skin supple or in a, you know, in kind of rejuvenating way, they have marigold as a part of the compounds within cosmetics.
Wow.
Which is interesting. Yeah, yeah. So when you look at something like that, when you kind of like, oh, marigolds, fall, okay, cool, you know, hey, pumpkin time, here we go. There's so much that goes with that that's just part of our generational and our lineage of things that we've had. And just like last week, you know, we had the water lily. And, boy, you think of water lily, oh, it's just a simple flower, but yet it was one of the first flowers on the planet. And we've had, you know, fossils of it actually being one of the first plants, if not the first plant, that got created for blooming and being on the planet. So when it comes to marigolds, the same thing. You know, you're looking at different civilizations that have used this thing, you know, the Aztec, and then in Nepal with India, having that something that's been celebrated just for centuries. I mean, you know, they go back and look at the Aztecs from the 1300s. You have this as a very deep part of their culture, a part of their rituals and the things that they have for just celebrating life, being bold, being, you know, in that fragrance and just this really almost fluorescent expression of just jubilation and having it being out there. And what's interesting too is the Aztecs, when they used to go into having anything that was a challenge for them, they really bought marigolds almost as a talisman for them to be encouraging them and to reminding them that they, you know, it was there to help to protect them and to be something. There was a way shower. So really interesting about marigolds. So really, it's always great, you know, whenever we have these flower power moments, you know, get yourself some marigolds and spend a little time, you know, having them. It's definitely something where you could plant it in your garden. And boy, most people, it's a wonderful, you know, something for pests, for keeping the pests out and things like that. You know, any gardener will tell you they'll put with their tomatoes and things like that, they want to make sure the bugs are going to stay away. They're going to plant marigolds right along with a tomato to make sure that they're there to keep their plants and their fruit and their food protected. So it goes, you know, from the garden into just our culture, into civilizations that have been, you know, way past in what we're looking at for just something that really can have just a long threshold of things being done. And, you know, and we're coming up to the official Day of the Dead as well. And, you know, here we're talking about a book of celebrating. What can I learn from death that can help me to live life more fully? And, boy, if you've ever been to a Day of the Dead celebration, you know, it's a party.
Yep.
You know, so colorful, so celebrational, you know, it's just so wonderful, you know. And it is a restorative time, a restorative thing of, you know, and being able to go and celebrate my ancestors, celebrate who I am, where I came from. So all those things that really help to fortify us to, you know, looking at what I am and who I am and how do I take that into the future and make that something that really can sustain me and help me to see very clearly in the future, you know, using that too. And I love what Kristen, you know, talking about a warrior, being able to see from, you know, internally from a different perspective and how he can use that to be able to fortify himself. Because, you know, think of the Aztecs and the level of warrior that they held in being, you know, the civilization that they were and having it to where, you know, they would use that as part of their culture, part of their tribe, part of their celebrations of what they are. So really, you know, take some time to be with the marigolds and kind of see what comes from that. I was really delightful. I had a lady that had a call from a lady that was like in her like 72, I think. And she was sending she wanted to send a marigold basket to her mother, and her mother was 90. So, you know, her mother, you know, she definitely was wishing her the longevity and all that. And I just really love that we were being able to gift her that with just some marigold plants that she could have out, because she definitely wanted her to have something she could have out in her garden and be able to transplant those into, you know, with her fruits and vegetables and things that she had with that. So just kind of a different way of looking at a marigold than a lot of people didn't know about that. So what do you think about that, Amy?
Silence. Oh.
The second she popped off and then she put back on again. There she is. What do you think about that name?
I am. I disappeared, but I'm back. You know. So this last weekend, my husband asked about putting marigolds in the backyard, and he didn't even know what they were. He just pointed to them. We were at a garden place, and I'm like, oh no, those are boring. I don't want to do that. But now I guess I'm going to rethink that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they make these amazing seeds.
They're boring in the best way. Yeah, yeah.
They're absolutely amazing. You know, I did a healing with Kelly Casper. I think she was on your show a few times ago.
Yes, yes.
And my gift from my seven generations was a community garden. And we always had marigolds in, and marigold seeds and packages. It was amazing. It was a part of my culture. And it's a really comforting part, like that pungent marigold smell. I just love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very identifiable.
Yeah. And it's like being like, yeah, right in that, right next to the ground, but not quite the ground.
That right. Very crispy, earthy.
That crispy, you know, a little bit higher than the ground, but that crispy, earthy smell.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very much ground as well. How about you, Elena?
Well, I love a marigold for sure, and I always thought they were beautiful, and I didn't even know that they had pest-repelling properties until someone came to my garden, to my flower bed one time, and they were like, you know, let's go in a vegetable garden. And I was like, oh, I have no idea. So, yes, I always loved them, so I remember that tidbit, and I love it. So I love that. I love I don't have any experience with marigolds this week, but I am very excited to see if I can go grab a few at the at the nursery, or call Flowers for You and give me a bouquet with my local florist, and see if I can put them out this week and see the energy that it brings to me.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So, so just looking at the marigold and then moving into, you know, looking at fear and looking at the way that it's been perceived through just, you know, our human condition. And there's been so many wonderful stories in this section that I just thought were so great. So, Amy, anything that pops into your mind about one of the great stories in this section?
Well, I want to kick off with the quote at the very beginning, which I absolutely love. It says, I realize that if I wait until I am no longer afraid to act, write, speak, be, I'll be sending messages on a Ouija board, cryptic complaints from the other side. That's Audre Lorde. And it's like, right? And it's like, I want to add to that, those tough conversations. You know, that we really want to be connected. We want to have real relationships. But in order to do that, we have to stand in courage and say the things that need to be said. We need to stand in courage and not say things too.
Yeah,
so,
that's very true.
You know, so many great stories. So any one of the particular stories in this chapter, there's so many great ones that anybody feels really called that they want to share.
Well, I know Alana had a couple that really, we were in the section before, and she was like, "Hey, how about that story?" And we're like, "Oh, wait, but that's in the next section." So, Lonnie, you want to talk about that one?
Sure. I just love that the this mother was at a barbecue, and they had a few friends over, and she hadn't heard the children in a while. And she went to go check on them, and her husband and the friend had encouraged her to stay. You know, they said, "Oh, you're always up busy. You know, relax. You know, have a minute for yourself, right?" And so, as a mom, it's lovely to get that encouragement. And you sit down, and soon after, their child was hit by a car, and subsequently passed away. And but the car, it was a hit and run. And, and so there was a lot of feelings around that, right? Around, sitting down, I didn't watch my children, all kinds of things. And eventually the person who hit the child was an elderly man rushing to get to a birthday party, and he came to the door, and she knew immediately it was him. And that he was the one who had hurt her child. And, what I love about the story is that she didn't react with overwhelming anger and grief, whatever he came to her, he was very, "I'm so sorry this happened. I did this." He didn't even realize he had hit a child, and then she said, "We all played a part in this." And I just love that. What grace, what forgiveness, but also the courage it took for this man to come to her door, the courage it took for her to forgive and to acknowledge and to be accountable for her own actions, her husband's ability to, take on his part of it. I just love that story. It's so beautiful. It's so painful. My worst fear is that something would happen to one of my children. And, I think every mother's fear, it's just, I can't even imagine it. But to be able to handle it with such grace but what I love about this is that she turned to her pain, she lived through her pain, and then she went on to be part of the Zen Hospice program. She, went on to share her story with others and help them through their grief. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful example of what actually facing the issues that come into your life, facing the pain that comes into your life, and how it can bring you gifts throughout the rest of your life that you might not have had you shut down, had you responded in anger, had you, all these things, if you would have become destructive about it instead of really turning toward it and working with it, you could have really missed out on a lot of things. And this is just a powerful story of incorporating, weaving the pain into your life and then healing it and moving forward and doing good with it. It's just really amazing.
Thank you, Alana. That was great. Kristen, when you're working with clients and they have these different kinds of really challenging situations come up, are you able to kind of guide them into a place where they can see, that this is something that can benefit them, that it's a blessing in some ways that's evolving as they're working through it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, for me as a therapist, when I did hospice work, really being able to open up to my own feelings and what got triggered inside of me, and to be able to sit with my own feelings when people talked about terrible losses of children and terrible difficulties that many of the clients that I see have experienced. If I can first really take a breath and say, okay, the invitation here is for me to be present with my own feelings first. And the more capacity that I'm able to be with my own feelings, to just be present, not do anything, not try to fix them, to just be present like you would pick up a baby and pat it on the back, that expands that holding that they talk about in the chapter. That expands it to everybody, and then the clients can go slowly into the very deep and sometimes treacherous emotions that they experience, particularly after a loss of a child. They can go there, but they go there slowly, and we just keep inviting them, and we're with them. We're present there. We're present with them in that pain. And it's such a beautiful experience, both for me as somebody who is holding this person and showing them or inviting them. The word is invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Inviting them to be present with their own grief, their own loss, their own tragedy, fear, their own fear, and to sit with it as if it's just the most beautiful, precious experience of their life that needs a kind response. Then we go in and we go in and we go in until finally they are able to be present fully with this vulnerable courage with their own grief. And then they can do anything. They can go be in hospices. They can meet with people. I've seen all kinds of people in my life. Just went through this last week with a couple years ago. This nurse lost her dad, and she had jokes about his butt fell off in my hands, but she stayed present with her dad emotionally through the whole process. And last week, she fulfilled her purpose. She became a hospice nurse, left her job and became a hospice nurse. And she looked at me with a big smile and tears in her eyes. And she said, I know my dad trained me to have this job. And it was just—it's just amazing, and that's the development of capacity. And she was also terribly afraid that she would not be able to handle the grief as these people passed quickly in hospice. And she said, "I can do this. I know how to do this. Do you know what I mean? I learned how to do this, and that is just about" being present with her dad, but also her own emotions as he left his body. You know, and it was just beautiful, just a beautiful affirmation of course, we can be with anybody and teach them just by being with them, to be with their emotions.
We're going to get Kristen into doing her mindset moment, and I'm very excited about that. It's not quite the same, but it's something I want to share with people, especially, you know, with my area of, you know, training and career and helping people with their business. It's really easy for us experts and whatever expertise we're in to move into, this is how you can do this, and this is how you can fix this, and this is da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I have to be courageous enough to go into free fall and not know where the conversation is going to go and not know how I'm going to help, but to be really present with that person on the other end of the Zoom or the phone or in front of me and let it unfold. And there are moments when it is really, really hard to do that. But the payoff is so big if I have the courage to do it.
Because then the process and the person guides us rather than our ego, rather than our fear. That's great. And I have seen you do that, Amy, so many times, and you are amazing at this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, Ms. Kristen, are you ready to guide us into, I don't know, what would you like to call this?
I don't know. Courageous presence.
I love it. Let's call it that.
That's the name of the chapter, right?
Let's go with that.
Let him name it.
That was easy.
That's right. So I just would invite you all who are on the other side of listening to this to just put one hand on top of the other at the middle of your sternum, right in the center of the heart chakra. And I would invite you to just take a breath in and just feel the presence of your hands on your chest. And to just sink into that, to just notice that feeling. To invite that feeling into your heart. And just breathing in that warmth and relaxing into that warmth. And let's do an easy one first. Okay? Let's do an easy one. Think of a moment in the past week that you just experienced love and delight. And I want you to invite that feeling in to your heart. And notice what that's like. To just be present with that feeling. Could be just even the lovely smell of the marigold. Or the smell of the earth. Or it could be the feeling one of you said as like having somebody's arms around you and bringing that hug into your body and being present. So that's present. That's easy. That's easy. Now let's think of something that's a little bit harder. A moment that you had in the last week or so that was harder. Mm-hmm. Where you were in free fall, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had to let go and trust. Or you had an argument with somebody, or somebody put you down. And we're going to invite that into your heart too. And just notice what it's like when you're present in a loving way with that experience. Not making it different. Not changing it, just making contact. Noticing the impact and being present with it. And then let's change back to a more neutral sensation. Just going back to the actual physical presence of your hand on your chest. And feeling the warmth or the comfort. And breathing into that, inviting that experience in and being present with it. And just coming back into your external reality and just inviting that in as well. Noticing the colors around your room. Noticing what you notice differently in your room. And being present with that too. Hmm. Like my symbol of life that is on my lampshade is just glowing right now. Hmm. And the courage develops. Remember what the book said, is the courage comes from the heart as we meet the fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
The courage, the courageous presence is the heart presence, the willingness to make contact with the beauty in life, the love, to take that in, and also the free fall. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The free fall, the not knowing how this is going to come out, not knowing what this is like. And I laugh because most of my life is in free fall.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all the time.
Most people in the world today, right?
Most people in the world today. And so I invite that in. I invite that experience of fear or anxiety or overwhelm in and breathe into it and just be with it. And as you guys practice this on your own, because your capacity
mm-hmm.
is going to increase every time
mm-hmm.
you do this. Do you know what I mean? Your capacity
yeah.
is going to be bigger and bigger, and you won't want to put up, like Amy, what you're saying, you won't want to put up those fear precautions of, well, it has to be this way, or it shouldn't be like this, or I shouldn't feel this way, or this is what this person should do. You know, as you become more present with that, and just allow to be present right here, pretty soon you're just going to be present, and there won't be any interpretation. It'll just be,
right.
Wow, this hurts.
This is just what it is.
This is what it
wow.
is, and I can be with that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is great, and I can be with that. I can take that in, too. Because I'll tell you, if you stay in a field like mine where everybody comes to see me because there's been some tragedy,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't take in the beauty and the love and
mm.
the marigolds and the beauty,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So I always start from the positive. I always start from just the physical presence, and then I
mm-hmm.
always play first with the emotions that I want to let in, with the experiences I want to let in. You know, the ones I want to savor, like having a perfect cup of coffee or a wonderful smell from one of those really beautiful roses that still have smells.
Or a belly laugh.
Or a belly laugh. To just, you know, to laugh. Amy and I laugh all the time. We have this joke about my tongue, and that my tongue hangs out all the time.
Only because it does.
It does, because I stick my tongue out in the middle of Zoom calls. And because you have to laugh. You have to embrace the laughter, the fun, even when you're sitting with somebody who's dying and their ass falls
mm-hmm.
off in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're all dying, my friends. I hate to be the one that tells
you. Yeah,
we're all
dying. I know. Isn't that terrible? Do you have old knees yet? I have old knees.
I don't even want to talk about it. One is a little older than the other, it appears. So I want to be, I love that. Thank you so much. And I loved how you started with
You're
the
welcome.
Physical of the hands, bringing in that,
mm-hmm.
that beautiful experience, then allowing them that what might not have seemed so beautiful, but whatever it is, you're bringing that in, and then going back to the touch. That is something I'm going to work on this next week before I enter into a Zoom or a call, or even before I answer an email that I may be hesitant to dive into. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have to have our own back.
Yeah. And
right?
Robin, yes, Yes, Robin, Alana, anything before mm-hmm. we head on out?
I just wanted to ask Kristen if people want to work with her. Where, how do they get in touch with her? What is it that they that we can do to further her work? Because that was amazing. I really appreciated that. So Kristen, make sure that you tell us where we can get in touch with you, where we can work with you.
Well, I'm unreachable.
You're unreachable. Oh, no, not good.
I don't even quite know how to answer that. Alana is going to work on making me more accessible soon.
Yeah,
sure we will.
Exactly. So that's what we love about, you know, that's right. So Alana, you know, her courage is helping people get a right to take their courage, right, to go out into the world. And of course, Robin is like a bartender all day long, helping people with the births and deaths and, you know, special events. So we all have our moments of how we are courageous and help others to step into that courageous presence. So one thing, I know Alana would want me to say this, and I want to say it, that Kristen and I just co-published an article together, co-wrote it, it's published, on the balance of care and reach equal outreach. And so we're going to plan on a book and a program, and, you know, it's all unfolding. And we know we've got all these great helpers to help us do that. And so I'm so honored to stand, again, with each of you and all of us as a collective, because it's time for us to come together. And we are all going to bring our plants to your garden, Ms. Kristen.
Yes, exactly. And I am absolutely open to how we could create this coming together in this way on
yes.
Zoom or
yes.
any of the platforms. I'm absolutely open. I have all kinds of things I would love to share with you. And, you know, I mean, you can call me on my business phone if you need a specific contact. Do you want me to give that number or what?
Yeah,
if you'd
be wonderful.
To.
Let's get that number. Sure.
Okay. So my business phone number is 530-243-2301. And I'm in Northern California, and I don't yet have a mechanism to create large gatherings yet. And I'm working on that. Yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to tend this this larger garden yet. But I am working on that. And so you'll call and you'll get my answering machine that says, I don't have any openings in my practice at this time. Because the truth is, I don't have any openings in my practice because my garden is very full. But I am open to creating
Absolutely.
A different way to serve. And I am opening into that. And I would love to do that with all of you. And you're welcome to call and just override the answering machine and say, I'm calling because I'd like to help to create a group or something.
Yes, and I want
and
to give you $1 million to start this group. Yeah. We're open to that phone call. Yeah.
We can also connect on Transformation Cafe's Facebook page, you know, in there.
Uh-huh.
So don't, you know, if you feel like you need to reach out to Kristen,
yes,
are there, and that would be wonderful.
Well, we'll keep this conversation
Perfect.
Going. Everybody, please practice this and let us know your experience. Thank you so much, Kristen. And, of course, you have a seat at the table anytime you want to come.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Love you.
That was a wonderful day.
Love
you.
We
Bye-bye. Hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.